it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hey, everybody. This is Steve Alexander, and welcome to the award-winning RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, sponsored by Prize Picks. Today is Tuesday, April 30th. Here with Kieran Sprecher, we're going to break down everything that happened on a interesting Monday night, going into an interesting Tuesday night, and we're going to do that right after this. Kieran, I feel like I kind of nailed that intro. I nailed it with Cam on Thursday too, and he's afraid I'm becoming just too good at this. But I don't think we're in any real danger of that happening. But anyway, sometimes I'm able to riff right off the top of my head without making mistakes.
Sometimes.
Monday night, Boston Celtics destroyed the Heat. 102-88. They're up 3-1. Game five is Wednesday at Boston. Derek White, man. Career high 38 points, 8 triples. I don't know what to say about Derek White other than Drew Holiday got traded last year, right? And ended up in Boston. And then everybody was like, Derek White is going to blow up. And then Damian Lillard, wait a second, hold on. All right, so I just screwed that all up. But the bottom line is Derek White was the man in Boston for a minute. He was going to be the point guard, and then Drew Holiday showed up in Boston, and then everybody was like, I don't know, now Derek White's not going to be the man. But he has been the man in so many big games this year. He was a kind of a fantasy beast all season, and now he's like a deciding factor in game four. What a great season Derek White has had, despite Drew Holiday being there. And Derek White, in my opinion, is outside of the defense that Drew plays, Derek White's just a better player.
Yeah, Derek White is amazing, especially his rim protection. I feel like that's really what elevated his fantasy value this year because – you know, Holiday's taking a lot of the ball handling responsibilities. Porzingis, Tatum, Brown, they take a lot of the shooting opportunities. So, like, where does White fit in? And that was the question heading into this year. And he just fits in all the cracks, right? Like, anything they need, he's the glue. He brings them all together. Twitter was joking last night that Lionel Messi, the famous soccer player, was in attendance because he's playing for a professional team in Miami now. And the joke on Twitter was, Lionel Messi's going to think Derek White's the greatest player of all time. People are going to start thinking, why is this Tatum guy not passing Derek White the ball more? So that was a pretty funny a Twitter joke. But Derek White, career high at 38 points, 8 triples, fantastic defense, like you said. But the big obviously the Celtics won this game, but the big concerns are the injuries coming out of this game, and mainly Kristaps Porzingis, who – looks like he avoided an Achilles injury. I think they're calling it a calf issue, so it might be a week or two. We'll see what the update is on that. And Tatum fell on Bam Adebayo's foot on a shot after the whistle, and he re-injured an ankle. Tatum said that this was the same ankle he hurt last year against Miami in Game 7. It's kind of bothered him a couple times this year, so we'll see if there's an update with that. I would assume he's going to finish the game, and I would assume he keeps playing throughout the series, but that may be something to watch. And then on Miami side, Jaime Jaquez got injured, a hip injury, sat out the entire fourth quarter. Duncan Robinson still dealing with a back injury. He's been cleared to play the last couple games, only played 3 minutes last night, 7 minutes the game before that. He didn't score in either of those. So, you know, an interesting game. Boston blew him out early, and then Miami kind of made a little bit of a comeback, but not really. And then you just turn to the injuries afterwards and see what the repercussions of those are.
Yeah, I mean, the way I blew that Giroux, Damian Lillard, Derek White setup, like that was more like one of my normal cold openings where I just have no idea where in the heck I'm going or what I'm saying.
It all made sense until you brought up Damian Lillard, and then I was like, wait, where are we going?
I know. And this is why I should never be on the air for anything before noon, because I'm never awake. Bam Adebayo had 25 points and 17 boards, but for all intents and purposes, in my opinion, this thing is over. It ends Wednesday at Boston. They don't need Porzingis. I hated the way he reacted to that injury. You could tell he was hurt immediately. I don't know when we'll see him again, actually. But let's move on to the Thunder and the Pelicans. The Oklahoma City Thunder swept the Pelicans. 97-89 final score last night. All five starters scored in double digits. Jalen Williams and SGA both had 24 points. SGA added 10 boards. The Thunder get the Mavs Clips winner, which I still am praying will be the Mavericks. That series is tied at 2-2. What do you like? Who's more impressive right now, Kieran? Is it Ant Edwards or is it the Oklahoma City Thunder?
See, and that's my whole point why I've been pushing the Ant narrative is because it's like the Thunder. They have so many, budding superstars, right? Like, maybe not superstars, budding stars. And Chet Holmgren, Jalen Williams, SGA. And Ant kind of just is the guy that elevates the Timberwolves on a nightly basis. I'm excited for the NBA as a whole. Stephen Curry got knocked out in the play-in round. Kevin Durant got swept. We saw LeBron lose. We'll talk about that later. But the young superstars in this league are really carrying this playoffs, and I'm super excited. And everybody wants to give SGA his flowers, and that's totally okay. I just think that he's gotten a lot of respect so far, so I want to shine a light on Jalen Williams in this series. SGA finished in four games, averaging 27 points, 6 assists, 5 boards, and 1.5 steals. And Jalen Williams wasn't too far behind, averaging 22 points, 7 boards, 5 assists, and 2 steals. And he also shot 40% from deep. His play style is tough to match. Downhill, can shoot the three, can distribute. This duo with Chet protecting the paint and shooting threes, it's going to be tough to handle for any team. Like you said, Dallas and the Clippers are tied 2-2, and they're kind of just like exchanging pillow fight blows. Dallas can't seem to win when Kawhi sits out, so that'll be interesting. But the Thunder are super solid. It felt like that game one that the Pelicans let slip was the only chance that the Pelicans had, right? After they let that one slip, it was like, this is going to be a sweep or a gentleman's sweep. Not much going on after that. Also got to give some props to Josh Giddey. I was like kind of a fan of him early on. I liked his distributing ability for fantasy purposes. I had him in a keeper league and I traded him immediately after all of his off the field news this year. But he's really had a resurgence in the second half, playing really good ball. After a dud in game one of this series, he averaged 16 points, 6 boards, and 3.5 assists over the last 3 games. So Thunder are playing at a really high level, and Dallas and the Clippers need to look out because that series might go 7, and then they're going to have to jump right into facing this young team with fresh legs that's out to kill.
Okay, I like it. I like the fact that you just threw a little ant on them. They're out to kill, just like Ant is. Prize Picks, Kieran, is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country. Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. You just pick more or less on 2 or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. I like Josh Hart with more than 12 rebounds against the Sixers tonight, along with Donovan Mitchell with more than 24 points against the Magic. Quicker draws, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what makes PrizePicks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Download the app today and use code ROTOPOD for a first deposit match up to $100. It's promo code ROTOPOD for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Download Prize Picks today and use ROTOPOD for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. All right. Oh, by the way, Brandon Ingram, you know, who did a pretty nice job of staying healthy this season for the Pelicans, along with Zion, kind of for the most part until the end. 2 for 14 in a big game, and just you just got swept by kids. And I don't know, man. Anthony Davis got out of New Orleans at the right time, I think. But
I totally agree. B.I. finished averaging 14 points and 3 boards in the series. He only shot 25% from deep. He didn't really get much help from anyone else in the series. McCollum scored some points last night, but he finished as a team worst, minus 14. Trey Murphy scored only 7 points, subbing in for Zion once again. Valanciunas was solid. Najee Marshall was a bright spot off the bench, but the Pelicans, just no match for the Thunder at this point, especially with Brandon Ingram playing the way he did. And you got to give a lot of credit to Lou Dort's defense on Brandon Ingram, but Ingram is that big body forward like KD who feels like he can always get to his spot and rise up. And there was like a couple times where he tried to make a move and Dort was like there before him and Brandon Ingram didn't even know what to do. He's just like, well, this is my move. This is the only move I have. So I don't know what the counter is, but bad series for Brandon Ingram. He's under contract for one more year, might be a trade candidate. I know a lot of people want to see Murphy start next to Zion. So there's like that floor spacing attacker type deal. So we'll see what the Pelicans do. I still kind of like their future. They got some young pieces, but the West is just so tough right now.
I do not love their future. Denver Nuggets 108, Lakers 106. LeBron, Anthony Davis, and company are headed to Cancun after a 4-1 defeat. Jamal Murray heroics again. Jamal Murray is sort of having the playoff of his lifetime. That's two. I don't know that this one counts technically as a buzzer beater, but it's pretty darn close to it. It's the same thing.
It was at the end of the shot clock, not the game clock. The shot clock was winding down.
It won the game. We call it a game winner.
For sure.
32 points, 7 assists, 5 triples. The shot he hit was pretty sweet. He was sort of like cutting across the lane and pulled up and just hit this great shot, which I'm sure you've seen. For his second game-winning shot of the series, Nikola Jokic had 25 points, 20 boards, 9 assists after a slow start, if you want to call it that. Mike Porter Jr. had 26 points, 5 triples. KCP sprained an ankle. Denver moves on from this series, Kieran, to get Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves. Now, I know that you have been the Anthony Edwards guys. You have been the Anthony Edwards guy as far as you and I go on these podcasts, but I have been right there with you because the beginning of this fantasy season, I said this is the year that Anthony Edwards takes over fantasy basketball. And it sort of started to happen, but it never really got full blown. I mean, he had the dunk of the year. He had the defensive block of the year. He had some monster moments all season long, but now that these playoffs are here, now that my voice is in perfect Jim Mora form, dude, did you hear that? Playoffs.
That was perfect.
And also one of my best friends, not one of my best friends, one of my good buddies from high school was the guy that actually asked Jim Mora that question about the playoffs. And Tim Bragg, that was Tim Bragg. Shout out to Tim Bragg. And he got the playoffs. We just didn't win a damn game. Anyway, Anthony Edwards is taking over these playoffs. And if Jamal Murray didn't do it, and if the Oklahoma City Thunder were not doing it, I think Ant would be getting even more attention. But, man, he's like, I just want to put anything in my way. You watch him play. He doesn't know that his team isn't supposed to be as good as it is. He doesn't care. He's throwing down poster dunks in every game. He's playing defense. He's hitting big threes. He's making shots when they count. Now he's going to play Joker and Jamal Murray, and I don't even think he's phased. He's like, I don't know. We've never been here before. We don't know what it's like to win or lose a series like this. We're just going to go out and play, and I'm going to try to kill everything in front of me. I mean, I love his mentality. I love the fact that he's here, and I love the way he went right at KD, and the two of them had this, like, back and forth, which has actually turned out to be pretty cool. Like, I'm so into this Anthony Edwards thing. I can't stand it.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely a passing of the torch type deal with KD and Ant in that opening round series. As for Jamal Murray, absolutely fantastic game. He was questionable with his calf injury. He aggravated it in game three. Questionable. Michael Malone going into the game, it sounded like he was not expecting Murray to play. Murray had been putting up numbers, and he obviously had the big shot in, I think it was game two. So he was playing well. The numbers were there, but he was only shooting 38% through the first three games. So the Nuggets were really lucky to be up 3-0 in that situation. And then he just goes off. You mentioned the shot that he hit. Absolutely ridiculous. He also dunked on LeBron in the fourth quarter. Like, he's just doing everything. What a fantastic performance for Jamal Murray. And I just want to mention, this guy has still never been named an All-Star. So we gotta get that figured out. Absolutely fantastic player. And like you said, this competition for who is leading the playoffs or who is the shining star in the playoffs is heating up as we move forward. You mentioned KCP's ankle injury. Went to the locker room twice, finished 2-for-10 from the field. They're definitely going to need his floor spacing and perimeter defense against the Timberwolves. So that'll be something to watch. I believe I just saw a tweet last night. So I think the Denver-Minnesota series doesn't start till Saturday. So that should give KCP a couple days to get off his feet, rest that ankle. So we'll see where he's at come this weekend.
Murphy was questionable, right? So he needs some time. Also, Murray? Because I think Murray was did I say Murphy? Murray yeah. was the true game time decision.
Yeah. So that 100%, that extra time will give both Murray and KCP some extra time to rest. As for the Lakers in this game, man, more of the same. They were leading for most of the game. They were right there with them. LeBron gave a valiant effort on offense in the fourth quarter. He hit some big shots, had some really good passes. But I just can't help but think about how many offensive rebounds he gave up. Aaron Gordon extended multiple possessions. He kicked it out to KCP for one. He kicked it out to Jamal Murray for one. Big threes. So LeBron put up those numbers, but that defensive effort just wasn't there in the fourth. AD was also a non-factor on offense in the fourth. He hurt his shoulder. He only took one shot in the final period. Austin Reeves was kind of like, let's see what he can do in the fourth. And it's like, your season's on the line and you're just going to like, I love Austin Reeves. I met him in Vegas during the RotoWire trip last summer. He's a nice dude, but I don't really want to trust him with the season on the line, just handing him the ball when you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. D'Lo was inefficient again. The Lakers bench is absolutely horrible. So they got a lot of moves to make. Probably going to be bolstering that bench with drafting Bronny James in the upcoming draft. So we'll see how that goes. But Lakers season's over. I think we're all thankful for that, even Lakers fans. And buckle up for Denver, Minnesota. That's going to be a blast.
Well, and let's talk about Denver, Minnesota just real quick, because you got Rudy Gobert, you got Karl Anthony Towns. So I'm assuming Jokic guards one of them. And I assume Michael Porter Jr. probably guards the other one. And then you've got Ant, and KCP's already banged up. Plus, I feel like Ant is so much stronger than KCP. Like, if they try to put KCP on Ant, Ant's just going to freaking dominate him. think it's going to have to be a guy like Aaron Gordon that's going to have to guard. And I just feel like if we're going to see Denver not go to the finals, it's going to be because Minnesota takes them out. I think this is a tough matchup for Denver a little bit just because of the Twin Towers plus Ant. Conley's playing pretty good. So Conley and Murray will play off each other a little bit. And
another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Man, I can't wait for this series. I think it's going to be maybe the highlight of the playoffs.
I totally agree. I think Minnesota played Denver really tough last year. I know the series only went five games, and Minnesota lost the first three, but they did win game four in OT, and then they only lost by three in game five. So I like the matchups, like you said. Even when talking through it, you're like, KCP guarding Ant, that's not good for Denver. So I think it's going to come down to Ant versus Jokic. That doesn't seem like a hot take, but it's going to come down to, can Ant dominate KCP, Aaron Gordon, Peyton Watson, and can Jokic dominate Rudy Gobert, Karl Anthony Towns, Naz Reid? It's going to be electric. I'm super excited for it. The only name you didn't mention that I feel like I want to mention is Jaden McDaniels. His perimeter defense is just fantastic. His offensive game is coming around too. This could be it. Like, he scores 20 points a couple times in this series, and people are going to be talking about him for a fantasy darling next year too. I'm super excited for this. I have one of my good buddies is a really diehard Timberwolves fans, and even since like last year, like in the regular season, he's been trying to nudge me and be like, the Timberwolves, they're really good, man. I know you don't want to believe me yet, but they're really, really good. So finally gets his credit. This series, like you said, whoever wins this, I would not be shocked if they made it to the finals. And I don't think OKC can knock out Denver. Like, I think Minnesota has a better chance of beating Denver than OKC does. So I'm excited.
And I'll tell you what's fun about this is I feel like Anthony Edwards, and I feel like SGA, and I feel like Jalen Williams, and I feel like Luka Doncic, like these guys are not out here worried about their social media account and their likes and their being liked by everybody in the league. They're out here trying to take people out. And you hear more comparisons, especially with Ant. You hear the word Kobe and you hear the word Jordan thrown around with Ant, especially with Ant, because there's always rumors out there that Jordan is his dad, which is hilarious and possibly true. I don't know, but
I feel like Jordan brought that up just so people would make that leap and start saying it all the time. He's like, yeah, that he might
Jimmy be Butler. Jimmy Butler. I'm surprised Jordan's claiming Jimmy Butler. I would not actually, but no. But it's just cool to see these guys have this killer instinct and this mentality of, you know, I'm going to take you out before you take me out. And so many of these guys play so soft. And, you know, you mentioned Anthony Davis, like, not being able to score. He hurt his shoulder. It looked like he was, you know, start crying over there. And Ant is so dang tough, man. And he doesn't care. And I feel like SGA and Luka and Jalen Williams, like, they're all the same guy. They all are like, I'm going to take you out before you take me out. And that's such a different, important mentality to have than I'm just going to try to beat you. And so that's why I'm really enjoying this playoffs. And I think Ant Edwards is on a different level than those other guys. Like, he is that dog. He's going to be, I think when these playoffs are over and they go into next season, there's going to be more guys that take on his persona and just try to go out there and just dominate people every single night, which is what he's doing.
And the last thing I'll say about Ant is this has been his mentality since he came into the league. In the draft process, he said, I'm the best player in the league. He's like, I'm going to beat LeBron. And he hasn't beat LeBron yet, but he beat KD. He beat Devin Booker. So I just think that, like you said, that mentality, you don't just like, oh, it's Thursday. It's a game seven. I'm going to have this mentality, this killer mentality now. It's like, no, that's every day. You wake up, you go to sleep. Ant eat, breathe, sleeps, killer mentality. So I love it.
And I wish we had this version of Ant at the University of Georgia when he was here, because they might have won a championship. Who knows? Tuesday night games and injuries. This is going to be quick because there's not a lot going on. We have three games tonight. We've got Philadelphia 76ers at the New York Knicks. I took the Sixers in this series because I thought Joel Embiid was going to be able to stay healthy. Thought he was going to be able to lead his team to some wins. It has not really worked out well for me so far. The Knicks are up 3-1, mainly because Luka's former teammate Jalen Brunson is an absolute monster. Embiid is, of course, iffy with a left knee injury. The Knicks can put Philly away tonight. It's at New York. I'm thinking this is it. The next step for that team would be the Indiana Pacers. And being an Indiana Pacers guy from the 90s, nothing was more special than Knicks Pacers playoff basketball in the 90s. I think this will be a throwback to that if it happens. Pacers are up 3-1. Knicks are up 3-1. They are in a crash course. That means we're going to get Spike Lee. That's where we're going to get some Reggie Miller. We're going to get some of my Governor Holcomb thrown in there, my buddy. So I'm kind of fired up to see Knicks Pacers if it happens, but I still need Philly to win the series. So maybe they can steal one tonight in New York. I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Embiid, like you said, is iffy. He's been playing and putting up numbers, but it just doesn't look right. Like, he's can't get up on defense, struggle to get, like, come up and down the court, but then he touches the ball and he becomes Embiid again. So it's been tough to watch. The Knicks are just the Knicks, man. They fight hard. They play scrappy. They always seem to come away with a loose ball, which has won them a couple games in this series. Injuries, like you said, Embiid is listed as questionable. He also wasn't at shoot-around this morning. That news popped right before we hopped on the pod. He's dealing with a migraine. Kelly Oubre is also sick and didn't attend shoot-around, but he's considered probable. On the Knicks side, you got Mitchell Robinson is questionable. Bojan Bogdanovic is not playing because of a lower body injury. He's also dealing with a wrist injury. So if Mitchell Robinson doesn't play again, we'll probably see Precious Achiuwa as the backup center to Hartenstein. But OG Anunoby also played a lot of small ball five in game four and was fantastic guarding Embiid, hitting shots, playing around the rim. So that's like the injury update. It's been pretty similar throughout the series. So we'll see where that goes. Like you said, this Jalen Brunson has just been a dog, but you also got to give some flowers to Tyrese Maxey. He's averaging 29 points, 7 assists, 5 boards during this series. He might need a 40 piece if you want, if you're hoping for this series to get extended. But that's certainly possible. He's certainly capable of that type of performance. I don't know if you are familiar with the classic movie Ace Ventura, but every time I think of the Sixers, I look at Kelly Oubre and Tobias Harris, and it's like the Einhorn Finkel. Oubre, Harris, Harris, Oubre. Which one of them is going to score 5 points tonight? We don't know. They're, you know, I like Oubre. I had him in some fantasy leagues. He's been stepping up a little bit, but Harris is not, and it just seems like they need both of them to be in double figures, playing efficiently, making shots from deep to, like, to have a chance.
Last time I looked, Kyle Lowry was averaging more points than those guys.
Yeah, and that was my next point. Lowry continues to be a postseason pest. He makes some shots. He comes away with some loose balls. But if any team is, like, built to ignore the pest that is Kyle Lowry, it's the Knicks, because they are all, like, a little bit of Kyle Lowry in them, right? Like, Josh Hart has some Kyle Lowry in him. Jalen Brunson has some. Not, like, the way they, like, just that they're savvy, taking charges, playing hard like that. So it's going to be interesting. If I had to put money where my mouth is, I'd probably say that the Knicks finish this one at home and move on and start preparing for a possible Indiana matchup.
Game two tonight is Magic at Cavs. And this is a tale of two cities, because the first two games in Cleveland were blowouts for Cleveland. And I was like, yeah, the Magic are too young and inexperienced to hang with the Cavs. And then the Cavs get to Orlando, and Orlando suddenly, Mo Wagner's out there talking trash like he's Mike Tyson or Larry Bird or whatever. And Franz Wagner is suddenly balling, and Wendell Carter Jr. is playing well, and the trio of guards is playing well. Like, Magic kind of blown out the Cavs last two. So we're back at Cleveland tonight, I believe, and it's tied 2-2. I don't think anybody's really giving either of these teams a chance, regardless of what happens in this series. Everybody's focused on all the other teams in the East, but any thoughts on this one? Or are you as bored by it as I am? Even though I'm not really bored, I just don't care that much.
The thing is, it's like the series is tied 2-2, but none of the games have really been competitive. I think that's where, like, the boredom kind of falls into it. If all four of the games have been competitive and the stars were both playing well at the same time, the series might be interesting. But it just seems like they're kind of taking turns. You know, Jared Allen, Donovan Mitchell in games 1 and 2, and then you had Paolo in game 3 and Franz in game 4. So there's been some, like, moments of greatness from some of these players, but overall the product hasn't been enjoyable. This is just a race to 100, right? Like, the Magic are the only team. They've scored over 100 points twice. The Cavaliers have not scored 100 points in this series. Cleveland can't shoot threes. I've been on this pod numerous times, and I always talk about Donovan Mitchell's, like, injury and if he's 100%. He kind of shut me up through the first two games, but then they go back to Orlando, and you see him, like, you know, kind of laboring, kind of touching at it, not really being super explosive. So that's a huge concern for me. And where in the world is Darius Garland, man? He's averaging only 12 points per game this series. That's I expect him to be around 20 points. Like, he's that type of talent. He can shoot the ball. He can play make. So I don't really know if that's, like, a game plan, trying to get Mitchell more involved, or if Jalen Suggs and Orlando's great defense is limiting that. We need more from Garland and more from Mitchell. Otherwise, Orlando might steal one on the road here, especially if Paolo and Franz are flirting with 30. After those two performances, I might have a tough time taking a Garland-Mitchell duo over a Paolo-Franz duo. So I don't know. Like you said, hasn't been a super exciting series, unless you're, like, an Orlando fan and you're like, oh my gosh, Paolo might be the next guy. Franz is a budding star. So we'll see. I'm probably taking the Cavs. I think there's just more veteran experience. And I'm banking on a Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell resurgence in game 5.
Well, they're at Cleveland. That's why I went with Donovan Mitchell to have more than 24 points in Prize Picks. Let's revisit Prize Picks real quick. So I think Mitchell getting more than 24 at home against the Magic tonight makes a lot of sense. I think Darius Garland, I have not looked at what his target is, but it's got to be low after what he's averaging in the series. So I would go more points for Darius Garland. And then I really like this Josh Hart rebounding machine that he's become. Like, Josh Hart is the heart and soul of the Knicks. I think, like, I don't know if we talked about that, and I don't want to go back, and we don't have to go back to that game, but he'll have 12 rebounds by the end of the third quarter in this game, probably. Like, he's just such a rebounding force. And I love the fact that Thibodeau, everybody has a love-hate relationship with Thibodeau because he plays these guys too many minutes. I love when he throws my fantasy guys out there for, 38 minutes a game every single night. Like, that is fantastic. I love it. Let's move on and hit this last game and get out of here, Kurian. We're almost done. Pacers at Bucks. The Bucks appear to be dead men walking. Down 3-1. Giannis is doubtful. Dame is doubtful. The Pacers are rolling. Halliburton is supposedly iffy with a back injury. I would like to know what it would take to keep Tyrese Halliburton out of this game. I'm thinking it would take a heck of a lot more than he's dealing with right now, and I'll be shocked if he's not out there.
100% agreed. I'm not really sure when exactly this injury popped up. He was added to the injury report like an hour before Sunday's tip-off, and then he ended up playing in Game 4 and scored 24 points, his most points of the postseason. He was 8 for 16 from the field, super efficient. So I don't really think the back issue is a major deal. He might be limited to 32, 35 minutes instead of 38, 39 minutes, which means McConnell might get an extra 5 minutes here or there, but I don't think it's really going to be that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things. Like you said, Bucks are dead men walking. Dame and Giannis are likely out again, both listed as doubtful. Middleton is expected to play through an ankle injury again. We'll see how long Bobby Portis can keep his hands to himself before getting ejected. This is just a tough matchup for the Bucks, especially without their superstars. The Pacers are getting contributions from everywhere, and I want to give the Pacers a lot of credit, but also the Bucks defense is nowhere to be found, man. Miles Turner sitting wide open in the corner, Andrew Nembhard sitting wide open. These guys are just wide open looks on fast breaks, layups, open jumpers. And then when that doesn't work, you just give it to Pascal Siakam and he goes one-on-one. And without Giannis, the Bucks have no one to guard Pascal. So I really don't see how the Bucks move on here, barring, like a crazy offensive explosion from Middleton and Brook Lopez, and the Pacers just go ice cold from three, which is always possible, but not likely.
The game is at Milwaukee, so I mean, it's not anybody can win at home. It doesn't matter who's healthy and who's hurt, and Milwaukee knows their backs are up against the wall. Doc Rivers doesn't want to go out like this. The Bucks don't want to go out like this, especially at home. Like, they're going to put together a fight and try to make it 3-2, try to get back to Indy. But it's funny, and I'm sorry I interrupted you, Kurian, but my brother and sister are here from Indiana, and they were sitting in my office like 10 hours ago, and they're like, "Hey, Steve, are the Pacers good or the Bucks terrible or is everybody hurt or like what's your take on the series?" I'm like, "Well, the Pacers dominated the Bucks in the regular season and everybody was picking the Pacers to beat the Bucks. A lot of people were taking the Pacers to beat the Bucks this series." My brother was like, "Man, I just can't really get into the NBA. I haven't been watching." And I was like, "Man, you got a really good team in Indy. They're fun. They run, they score points. You're probably going to have a matchup with the Knicks the next round. If there was ever a time to jump on the Pacers bandwagon, it's right now."
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, it's always hard to lose at home. And some of these games have been close, even with Dame not playing the last two, or getting hurt in this game three and not playing the last game. They've been close, so, you know, it could come down to who can get hot in the fourth quarter. I just feel like the Pacers' success has been way more repeatable. Like, when the Bucks have success in the series, you're like, oh, that kind of – like, Middleton hit a tough fadeaway jumper. Like, that's a really good shot, and that's his shot. But, like, also then the Pacers, 5 seconds, and they have a wide-open layup or a wide-open Miles Turner three, and it's just like – they can repeat their success so much easier than the Bucks can without their superstars. So I think this will be closer than a lot of people expect, especially because it's going to be at home and the Bucks have some guys left, but I don't know. Pascal, like, a lot of this Pacers team doesn't have championship experience, right? But Pascal does, or even postseason experience, but Pascal does. So they kind of just got to lean on him and let him be the best player on the court in this series that, with Dame and Giannis not expected.
And what was it, game three when Middleton hit all the shots and it kept going to overtime? And that was a crazy game. And that may have been the game that ended this series because the Pacers ended up pulling that out, right?
Yeah, 42 points. He hit 2 3-pointers to send it into overtime and then double overtime, I think. But that's what I mean by, like, not repeatable. Like, he has this, like, heroic performance, heroic shots, and then they still lose. And it's like, what does he need to do to will these Bucks to victory? Being in Wisconsin, I'm not a Bucks fan. I have a lot of Bucks fans or Bucks friends that are diehard fans. I like Giannis coming up, so I have no, like, ill will against them. It just seems like their train's kind of running out of gas. And I don't know how much gas they really had because they dealt with injuries all season long. So it's kind of finally catching up to them.
We've been saying all year, like, as soon as they got rid of Giroux and added Dame, that changes the whole dynamic of everything they do defensively, offensively. It made Boston really, really freaking good, and it made the Bucks really, really vulnerable. Kieran, I think we've kept this to right under 40 minutes somehow. I understand that you may have a fire alarm going off anytime now, which is why we kind of went early today. Hamlin and I will be here on Thursday. We'll know the outcomes of some of these Tuesday night games by then. All of them, obviously. You and I will be back here again next Tuesday. Any parting words?
No, I'm glad that we got it done before my apartment's testing the fire alarms, because no one wants to hear that.
All right, go check out Prize Picks. Get some more or less. It's that simple. We'll see y'all. I'll see y'all Thursday, and then we'll see y'all again on Tuesday.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.